From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let us not imagine that the soul sleeps in insensibility. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth beneath the coverlet of grass. But what is this sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest, and that is the thought which the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Sleep shuts fast the door of the soul and bids all intruders tarry for a while, that the life within may enter its summer garden of ease. The toil-worn believer quietly sleeps, as does the weary child when it slumbers on its mother's breast. Oh, happy they who die in the Lord! They rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Their quiet repose shall never be broken, until God shall rouse them to give them their full reward. Guarded by angel watchers, curtained by eternal mysteries, they sleep on, the heritors of glory, till fullness of time shall bring the fullness of redemption. What an awaking shall be theirs! They were laid in their last resting place, weary and worn. But such they shall not rise. They went to their rest with the furrowed brow and the wasted features, but they wake up in beauty and glory. The shriveled seed, so destitute of form and comeliness, rises from the dust a beauteous flower. The winter of the grave gives way to the spring of redemption and the summer of glory. Blessed is death, since it, through the divine power, disrobes us of this workday garment, to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus.
Stepping stone along a trail that's winding ever upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then
behold the city, until
18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series in 1 Thessalonians, he commences the second of three messages entitled The Day of the Lord. The text is verses 6 through 11 of chapter 5. In chapter 4, the Apostle Paul helped believers to understand that saints who had already died were at no disadvantage to those who were living at Christ's return. Now he's addressing the question of how the world will end, especially as it concerns the believer and the unsaved. That time will be a time both of mercy and of judgment, of mercy for those who are trusting in Christ, and of judgment for the lost. The particular emphasis in this message is upon watchfulness for that long-awaited appearing of Christ. Now to continue this study of the Day of the Lord, here is Pastor Tamassian.
You see there in verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." And he gives these metaphors of a thief in the night and as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. There's a suddenness here. A suddenness regardless of whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, it will be sudden. But to the believer, it is not with a sense of what's going on. When it occurs, there is a sense of expectation. We've been looking for this, anticipating it, and when it finally occurs, we will be fully aware of what is going on. The Church of Jesus Christ longs for this day, looks for this day, prays for this day, when all things will come together and there will be a full and final judgment dealing with all the enemies of Christ finally and fully, and bringing together every child of God, think of it, every blood-bought person from the very beginning of the world, when Adam, redeemed by faith alone, putting his trust in the promise given to him, along with his wife Eve, throughout the generations, all gathered together in a full experience of what Christ has purchased for us. It will be sudden, but it really is an alarm to those that are outside of Christ. It ought to be an alarm to them. They're not expecting it, not looking for it, not praying towards it. And we made our warnings clear last Lord's Day, and we trust they were taken to heart. We also saw the separation because of it. Verse 5, you see that separation. Ye are all, wonderful thing to be able to say as a preacher, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Separation due to spiritual adoption. We are children. We thought about that. And separation due to spiritual attributes. We are of the light, children of light. Light indicating what we have and what we enjoy in the Lord. And it's vital for us to understand what we have in Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul does here, that he informs them about what they are. He's going to move on, and we'll see it this morning. He's going to move on and make application, drive home certain truths, speak to the way the Christian should live. But before he does that, he lays the foundation. This is what you are. Now, beloved, let's just pause on that and think about the significance of being able to say ye are all the children of light, that this is what you are. Knowing what you are makes a difference in how you live. If someone joins the U.S. Army, as soon as they are aware they are part of the Army, it makes a difference in how they live, at least it ought. Part of the training and part of what they experience is to shape them into a certain conformity, because now what they are, having signed up, now that they're part of this body, it ought to change how they live to some degree. And there are many ways in which that may be applied. Many jobs have this feeling upon the heart and the life. When you become even a teacher, you become anything. You take on a role and you become something, and you become defined by a title. This is what you are. And it changes how you think, changes how you live, often will mature you, especially when there's added responsibility. It shapes you in a certain way. And the longer you're in that, the more it can be identified. It's often very easy to almost tell that someone is a nurse after 30 years of being a nurse, or that someone is a teacher after 30 years of being a teacher. You can almost tell. You're not surprised when they say, "Oh, I'm a teacher," if you've had some introduction to them already. There's certain characteristics that are upon them, and that their whole life has shaped them, and as soon as they became this thing, it made a difference in their life. And so it is for us when we know, and this is what Paul's laying down, he is making them aware, this is what you are. This is what Christ has made you. He has made you children, as we considered last Lord's Day, children of light. Of light. You emanate light. This is your calling. This is what you have been made to reflect. You're not of darkness. You're of the day. You live in the revelation of the gospel. That light is enhanced by the agency of the Word of God and the Spirit of God within your life, so that you are of the day. That's how you can be described, as it said here. You're of the day, children of the day. You're walking in the light of God's Word. The Spirit of God we've spoken about is living within you, living Christ in your life, leading you to love Him and serve Him. This is not insignificant. Sometimes when we are exhorted to a certain manner of living, it is without being reminded or understanding what we are, and that can be unhelpful. Paul doesn't do that. He's going to make exhortation. He's going to apply. And the final part of this letter really begins to drive home what is expected, what is desired, what he would want to see develop and grow within the body of Christ there. But he is establishing, ye are all the children of light. Take that, beloved. Wear that. Wear it. I know that our understanding of the depravity of the human nature can sometimes make us talk about ourselves in ways that we need to be very careful and cautious about. I'm a sinner. Yes, you're a sinner. And we may lament our sin and feel the weight of it daily, and we have our consciences pricked at the lack of holiness within our lives, and it may bother us, and it ought. But we can speak sometimes in an unhelpful way where we almost make out that we're living as ungodly as the ungodly live. And that shouldn't be the case. Paul says, no, that's not what you are. You're not of darkness. You're not of night. There's a difference. Where the reality, that which Christ has given to you, you're a child of light. You're of the day. Wear that. Adorn that. This is what you are. This is not something you become. This is not something you earn. This is not something you work for. This is what you are in Christ. Beloved, when you leave this place each Lord's Day, when you go into the workplace, when you enter into the world, if you enter in even to a home with unbelieving people around you, you're a child of light. You're not of the night. You're not of darkness. That is been changed, transformed, you've been delivered from darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. Just as God said in the creating of the world, let there be light, so He has said the same in your life. He came in, not by your beckoning, not because you made the first move, but He came and He said, let there be light in that soul. And there was light. And there has been light ever since. Light that enables you to love the Lord Jesus Christ and seek for Him. And I trust that is reflected in your life. So we come then, continuing on in this message, to look at the study of the day of the Lord. The study of it. We've seen the significance, the suddenness, the separation because of it. Now we see the study of it. I'm not sure if we'll get through all of this, but we'll see how the Lord leads and how He helps us here this morning. When you come to verses 6 and following, you can see that there's this exhortation that is laid out for every child of God. Now, we said last time that many people claim to study the day of the Lord, and what they mean by that when they say they study it is that they study the timing of it. They're always talking about the timing of it, and for some it leads to predictions. We mentioned last week Harold Camping, but this has been going on throughout history, whether it has been Irenaeus, 500 AD, or Pope Sylvester II in 1000 AD, or many occasions into the cults, Charles Russell, Joseph Smith, Herbert Armstrong, even Jack Van Impe and others. I mean, they're constantly talking about the Lord's return. Sometimes it's very specific. It will be on this day of this year, of this month. They think they know exactly when it's going to be, and they say that, and they even move people to alter their lives because of it. Don't sow the crops this year because the Lord's going to return. This has happened. This has occurred. People have been swept up by this. Others, it's more general. People have said, it's going to be before I die. It will be in my lifetime. More generally, making predictions. And again, they tend to fall flat. At some point, someone's going to be right, perhaps, but so far, history of the church, over and over again, they get it wrong. But to rightly study the day of the Lord is to prepare for it, not to predict when it will happen. And understand the difference. It is to prepare, not to predict. The word used in verse 3, sudden destruction. The word for sudden is found in one other place in the New Testament in that form in Luke 21, 34, where Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you, this is the word, unawares, come upon you sudden. And his warning then is to all. While it will certainly come with sudden destruction upon those that are not found in Christ, there's a suddenness to it that lends itself to warning to every child of God, so that we have to make sure that we're not being filled with the trifling things of this life and the things that may fill our lives that have no weight and importance. In other words, we get to a point, even those of us who profess faith in Christ, we get to a point where the day of the Lord is not shaping how we presently live. That's a problem, and we'll see that. It is a problem because it's meant to influence us. It's meant to shape us. It's meant to help us, not again in the study of when it's going to be, but in the preparation. Am I ready? Am I showing that I am a ready individual living in light of the impending return of the Lord Jesus Christ? So when we come to our text, we see first of all that the day of the Lord teaches us to be watchful, to be watchful. Verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us not sleep as do others. Sleep. In this occasion, it is different from the form of sleep that is spoken of in chapter 4, in verse 15, where he makes mention of those that at the return of the Lord it shall not prevent, of those that are alive shall not prevent them which are asleep. In that sense, he's speaking of those that are already dead, as it were. But this sleep is a different form of sleep. It is a picture of ignorance and indolence. The one who sleeps has no awareness of what is going on, like someone sleeping. He doesn't know what's going on. He's asleep, completely unconscious, really, of what is going on around him. And there's an indolence there. He's not actively living in light of what is going on either. He can be said to be sleeping. He's not active. The reality of what is present or what is coming is not shaping him. So, in contrast of being one that sleeps, we should not be ignorant. We should have knowledge. The Lord is returning, and we should not be indolent. We should be actively living in the reality of the coming day of the Lord. And Paul, when he says this, when he makes this exhortation, he said, let us not sleep. He involves himself. Paul, in making this exhortation, is not just generalizing it towards people that maybe in the church and you're not sure where they stand before the Lord. He actually throws himself in here. In other words, the apostle is aware. He is conscious of the fact that even he may fall into this condition. That it is possible that even one who serves the Lord may fall asleep in this way, as do others. Others that exhibit spiritual slothfulness, those that aren't living in the light of the Lord's return. It may be possible for the child of God, even the apostle himself, does not exclude himself from the reality that I may get to this point. So it comes very, very sharply to us, because if Paul includes himself, there's none of us that can exclude ourselves. There's not one child of God here who can say this doesn't apply to me. It is very easy to become conditioned in a negative way. And the question I asked myself in study of this is, am I asleep? Am I asleep? That's a question I would want you to ask yourself. Are you asleep? Are you as whoever these others are? Certainly the unregenerate reflect a spiritual death, but his concern is toward the people of God. Let us not sleep.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.